triumph despite tribulation. We need some examples of inspiration. In Hebrews 13, verse 3, we are told, remember the prisoners as if chained with them, those who are mistreated, since you yourselves are in the body also. When one part of our body hurts, the rest of the body feels about it. You can't say, oh, well, you know, it's just my tooth, or it's just the migraine, or just my toe. I mean, the whole body feels. You can't say, well, just the kidney, who cares about that? The whole body is affected. Just like when one part of the body is enjoying an ice cream, the whole body is actually enjoying it too. And so you can't just say, oh, well, it's only for the mouth, and so on. We are one body. Therefore, wherever the church is persecuted, we should be concerned, such as Nigeria. Just between 2010 and 2015, in that five-year period, over 1,000 churches were attacked and 17,000 Christians killed in Nigeria, northern Nigeria. In Angola, we've come across churches like this where they no longer had a building. The Cubans had burnt their building. They didn't have a building, but didn't stop them from meeting and worshiping the Lord. In Egypt, churches have been attacked. Hundreds of churches. Some churches have been stood for hundreds of years attacked. Car bombs, arson attacks, persecution of all kinds. The church in Egypt has been suffering persecution for 14 centuries, and they've stood firm. There was a time when Egypt was a majority Christian country. Today, Egyptians, Copts, make up less than 12% of the population of Egypt. The Arabs, the colonializers, the invaders, now outnumber Egyptians in Egypt. This postcard was sent by friends from Egypt. They may destroy our churches, but they can never destroy our faith. It's important that we stand with the Christians in Egypt. I've had some people saying, who cares about the Christians in Egypt? They're Copts. They're not real Christians. Now, wait a minute. As I've said to Christians in America on TV programs, radio programs, these people have been willing to suffer persecution, their families for generations. They've suffered more for Christ than you have. What right do you have to question their devotion to Christ when they could get out of this in an instant by just converting to Islam? There's so many advantages to converting to Islam there. They've got extra taxes for being Christians. They've got all kinds of scholarships that are denied them and so on. People willing to suffer persecution and die for Christ, we should not be questioning their salvation. I'd rather question the salvation of people who call Christians suffering for Christ, not real Christians. Egypt is one of the places that are emphasized in the Bible. There's so many prophecies about Egypt. And St. Mark took the gospel to Egypt, and the church has been strong since then. In Sudan, Christians are under fire, being bombed, attacked, harassed. In the Nuba Mountains, Christians have been under fire for decades. Churches in South Sudan have been bombed, especially around Christmas time. Helicopter gunships destroying, bombing. In fact, the scorched earth campaigns have caused tremendous devastation. And it's in South Sudan that we've delivered hundreds of thousands of Bibles and millions of gospel booklets over the last 28 years. And we've come under fire while running evangelism training courses there. These places need the Word of God. They need encouragement. They need to know they're not alone. They're not forgotten. And the Word of God has been bringing great fruit in Sudan. Here's a church that will not die, bombed over 10 times, including on Christmas Day, year 2000, and rebuilt each time. The church that will not die, surrounded by bomb craters, church being damaged, but it keeps standing firm. We took the first Bibles in the Moro language into South Sudan, to Moroland, and the Bible translator who spent his life translating this was killed on his way to getting the Bible printed. And we had the privilege of getting Ken Ezra Lawiri's Bible translation printed in Singapore and took the first 10,000 in. Helicopter gunships shooting up our mission team in Nub Mountains in central Sudan. Scorched earth campaigns, targeting of Christians. How do the people survive in these conditions where they are being targeted for their faith? How can we stand firm? James Cromer, 52 years old, when I took the picture, arm cut off by the Arabs. Why did they chop his arm off? They burned his village at Adudu. They destroyed and looted all his crops, livestock, and then they chopped his arm off just in case he decided to join the resistance. Why would you want to join the resistance when you've got a government that understanding? Now, here's an inspiration. This is an evangelist. He's lost both his feet. How do you lose both your feet? The Arabs chopped it off with an axe. Why did they chop his feet off? Because he's an evangelist. They wanted him to be an example to everyone. This is what happens if you continue to take the gospel. The Bible says how beautiful on the mountains are the feet of him who brings good news. This man has beautiful feet, even though he has no feet, because he still takes the gospel to his neighbors. He has not allowed the inconvenience of not having feet to keep him from taking the gospel to his neighbors. He walks on his knees or rides on a donkey. So what excuse do we have? During this time of increasing intolerance, intimidation, by the way, these are pictures of Egyptians, Coptic Christians murdered by the Muslim Brotherhood in the Middle East, in Egypt. It is inspiring to learn the incredible testimonies of courageous Christians like Perpetua and Anne Askew, a daughter of the Reformation, and Nicolae Moldovanu, the Romanian musician and martyr for Christ. Hebrews 13 verse 15 tells us, therefore, by him let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God that is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. In John 15 verse 18 we read, the Lord Jesus warned us, if the world hates you, know that it first hated me, before it hated you. If you were of the world would love its own. But because you are not of this world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. Remember the word that I said to you, the servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. Here's a Somalian man, one of 12 Christians who in that year was buried up to his waist and then stoned to death. And we know this because the jihadists posted the pictures on social media of them stoning to death a convert from Islam to Christianity. In many graveyards, you see this verse, especially in military graveyards, from John 15, verse 13. Our Lord Jesus said, greater love is no one in this than that a man lays down his life for his friends. There is no greater love than to be willing to lay down your life for another. The Apostle Paul wrote in Romans 8:18, for I consider the sufferings of the present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us. The sufferings are temporary. It may seem very long at the time, but in the light of eternity, remember, eternity is very long, and time for us is actually quite short in comparison. Not that it feels like it at the time. 1 Peter 2:20-21, the Apostle Peter wrote, for what credit is it if you are beaten for your faults, you take it patiently? But when you do good and suffer, if you take it patiently, this is commendable before God. For to this you were called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that we should follow in his steps. 1 Peter 1:6-7, in this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials, that the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ. You don't know what value a metal is till it's been tested by fire. You don't know what value a person is till he's been tested by trials and tribulations. And this is part of why there's intense training in combat units in the military. They want to put you under tremendous pressure to see if you will break. Because if you'll break in training, then you can't be trusted in combat. You want to go into the field with somebody that you know will stand with you, that won't break, that won't leave you in the lurch. And so there's tremendous pressure put in training, because better to lose sweat in training than blood in battle. Although the South African Army believed in you losing blood in training as well. They were awfully realistic. So much so, I remember our Sergeant Major boasting to us, the 6th South African Infantry has lost more men in training than we have in combat. I thought, that's a good thing. Well, he seemed to think it was. But our training was awfully realistic and very harsh, and people died during our training. It was that harsh. People broke their necks and obstacle courses, all sorts of things happened, died of exposure. I mean, it was extraordinary, the amount of casualties that were endured and tolerated for training. That's how realistic they took their training. But it's true. If you train hard, you can fight easy. And that's why in this snowflake world today, we've got so many people don't even try. They don't even give up. They don't even try, because they're not used to sacrifice. But the Lord expects us to sacrifice. True love is measured by sacrifice. Yes, and all who desire to live a godly life in union with Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. 2 Timothy 3:12. Scripture does not say some, does not say many, it doesn't say most. All who desire to live a godly life in union with Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. Now, if we're seeking to be faithful to our Lord Jesus, surely we will suffer some persecution. By God's grace, perhaps not the violent, vicious persecution which Christians in communist and Muslim lands have endured. May the Lord be merciful and spare us from that. However, if we remain faithful to the Lord, there will be times when we will be misunderstood, slandered, discriminated against, threatened, abused, whether from friends or family or neighbors or co-workers, whether at school or at the workplace, those who maintain a consistent testimony to the Lord are bound to suffer some abuse. It's inevitable. Let's give some examples to inspire us. Examples of excellence. Polycarp of Smyrna. When Polycarp, the bishop of Smyrna, who by the way was discipled by the Apostle John, when he was arrested, he declared, God's will be done. He was warned that they were coming to arrest him. He didn't flee. He prepared food for his captors before they escorted him to the Roman consul. And the consul was struck by how old Polycarp was. Pity your gray hairs, old man. Just burn some incense before the emperor and you can go free. Polycarp responded, if you think for a moment that I would do that, then you pretend not to know who I am. Hear it plainly. I am a Christian. Then just do this, old man. Just curse Christ and I will let you go free, said the proconsul. Polycarp responded, 86 years I've served my Christ, and he has done me no wrong. How then can I blaspheme my king who has saved me? I have wild beasts, threatened the proconsul. Bring them, said Polycarp. I would change my mind if it meant going from the worst to the better, but not from the right to the wrong. If you despise the wild beasts, I will have you burned, warned the proconsul. You threaten me with a fire that burns but for an hour, and then it is extinguished. But you know nothing of the fire of eternal judgment, which will never be extinguished. Bring what you will. It's almost like Polycarp was goading him. As Polycarp was led into the arena, he was heard to pray, Lord God, Father of our blessed Savior, I thank thee that I have been deemed worthy to receive the crown of martyrdom, that I may die for thee and for thy cause. Polycarp was mentored by the Apostle John, who knew the Lord Jesus probably better than anyone else during his time on earth.